Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1. That's where we'll be starting this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. When we were at FC, we sung the song that we just sang one morning, Take Time to Be Holy. I started really thinking about it. And I don't know about y'all, but at least for me, a lot of times my time to be holy was mandatory, right? You have to go to church, that's when you're holy. You know, during the week, you kind of do what you do. You don't take time to be holy. And I started thinking about the words. You know, the first verse, take time to be holy. Speak often with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Each of these things that it's talking about in this first verse is things that we have to take time to do. We have to set aside time to do. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we get kind of the inspiration for this song, which is this call to be holy. In chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Don't be the way you used to be. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as a father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We have been made holy. We have been bought at a dear price. And sometimes we can't take the time out of our day to speak off with the Lord. Take time to be holy. There's a podcast I've been listening to with my fiance Martha. And it's the Fierce Marriage Podcast. And one of the things that they talk about is make your habits or your habits will make you. Each day you have to decide what you're going to put time towards. Otherwise you're just going to be driven by the passions of your former ignorance. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Taking time to be holy. Taking time to be holy. The second part of that song, speak oft with thy Lord. That goes back to being holy, being righteous. We have to spend time building a relationship with God. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see several verses. One of my favorite verses as a memory verse as a kid, verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. Spent a whole day memorizing that. It was awesome. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Take time to be holy. Pray without ceasing. Give time to talking to the Lord. And I think it was my dad brought a sermon forever ago. Comparing our relationship to God like our friendships. If you want a friendship with somebody, if you want a relationship with somebody, you don't just say hi every once in a while. You spend time cultivating that relationship. You put time into it. You spend time talking to them. You go do stuff together. And yet when it comes to our relationship with God, it's enough to just show up on Sunday, read for 2 hours, and leave for the week. No. Every day, we need to be taking time to be holy. Pray without ceasing. Praying all the time. If you look throughout the Bible, you see examples of this. Through the Old Testament and the New Testament, let's look at some. If you turn to Matthew chapter 14, with Jesus. You know, Jesus was a part of God and he took time out of his day to pray. Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to start at verse 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves from the wind against them. We know the rest of the story, how Jesus walks on water and stills the waves. But he dismisses the crowd and then withdraws and prays for the rest of the day. When was the last time we spent more than 10 or 15 minutes praying? You know, a long prayer is one that goes on for 10 or 15, maybe 20 minutes. But then it's time to cut that off and move on with your day. And yet, Jesus is spending hours, days, nights praying. If you turn to Luke chapter 6, we see he prayed before he made big decisions. Luke 6, starting in verse 12, says, "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray all night." Praying all night. At best, that's 8 hours, right? How long we sleep at night, it's 8 hours. He could have been praying for 12 or 13 hours. He's praying. "And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." Before he chose his disciples, the men who would follow him everywhere, who would go through everything with him, who would be there when he died, he prayed before he made that decision. Then in Matthew chapter 26, when he's giving his life for a whole bunch of people who don't even care about him, he prays. Starting in verse 36. It says, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again for the second time he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' Again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy." You know, he's spending hours this night before he gives his life, pouring out his sorrows to God. And I feel we are like Peter and the other apostles. We would have been there, but after 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of praying, we nodded off a little bit. That's not taking time to be holy. That's not taking time to cultivate this relationship with God. We have to speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. That's another thing. If we're to build this relationship with God, we have to focus on the things that are of God. Right? This world is not of God anymore. It's been corrupted and twisted by us. And if we're going to be holy like God is holy, like Jesus is holy, we have to be abiding in these things. If we turn back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 17. And verse 18. We see a command that's given from the very beginning to the kings of Israel. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18. It says, "And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom," that is the kingdom of Israel, "he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children." There's this practice that was supposed to be set up where at the very beginning of their kingship, the kings were supposed to write out a whole copy of the law, approved by the Levitical priests, so that it was accurate, so that they knew exactly what God had told them to do. That's abiding in the Word. That's knowing right from wrong. How often do we spend hours a day doing that? One of my best friends growing up, his dad was an elder where I grew up. And I found out later in life that he woke up at 4 or 5 in the morning, every morning, to spend an hour to 2 hours in reading and prayer. Every day, You know, he's been a teacher for 40 years. And every day he gets up, spends 2 hours doing this before he starts his day, and then goes about it. That's abiding in the Word of God. And over again, people are praised for this. Acts chapter 17. The Bereans are praised for looking into the Scripture, delving into it, proving what was right. Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 11. Actually, verse 10. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They were examining the Scriptures daily, delving into it, reading it, not just showing up to the tabernacle on the weekends to get the little tidbit that the priests had prepared for them. They were studying, they were looking at it, testing for themselves the teaching that was being presented to them to make sure that it was accurate and correct. And even Jesus does this in his teaching. If you turn to Luke chapter 2, he's constantly referencing God's Word in the Old Testament. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 41, the very beginning of his life. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But when they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must have been in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. Even as a young boy, he was spending time delving into God's Word, reasoning with the people that understood this, gaining that knowledge so that he knew. You turn to Matthew chapter 4, when he's being tempted at the beginning of his ministry. He's quoting chapter and verse. Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It said, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" He knew the Scripture. He knew the passage. He knew the verse. He knew the commandment. And so when Satan came tempting, he said, "No, it says it's right here." Verse 5, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple." And he said, two can play that game. He said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you." He says, "Look, I can quote Scripture too. Look at this. This is what it says. Go ahead and throw yourself off. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." When temptations came, he had dwelt on the Word of God. He knew what the law said. So he knew exactly how to respond. It's the same thing with us. If we don't take that time on the front side of things to be delving into the Scripture, spending time in prayer, putting time into our faith, when our faith is tested, it's not going to stand the trial. It's going to break and it's going to crumble because the substance isn't there. And the next part of the song, "Make friend of God's children and help those who are weak." That's another thing that takes time every day. Right? Taking time to be holy is also helping each other out. If you turn to Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be on himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each one will have to bear his own load." If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, again with bearing with one another. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord," Ephesians 4 verse 1, "urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Take time to be whole. Walk according to what you're supposed to walk. Verse 2, "with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Bearing with one another, putting that time in to help each other out. Bearing with another with patience. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I know we're flipping through them. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Spreading the word. It says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truths and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. When the time of my departure has come, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." He says, I've put the time in. I've made sure I'm preaching the word. Being ready in season and out of season. Like we're studying in the class, you know, we're going over these questions so we can be prepared when they come. That takes time. It takes daily study. Delving into these things. And if that's not there when we're tested, when we're questioned, we're not going to have a response. It's not going to be there if we don't take time to be holy. And the final verse of that first verse is, "forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek." If you turn back to Matthew chapter 26, back to Jesus praying. He's begging God, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this. And he had the power. We sing the song. He could have called 10,000 angels and destroyed the world right then and there. But that's not what he was here for. And he sought God's blessing. And when God said no, he accepted that answer. Right? Verse 38. "My soul is very sorrowful even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Go down to verse 42. "Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Too often, when we take time to be holy, we are finding an excuse for living the way that we want to. We delve into the scripture to prove that we're right. That's not what Jesus was doing when he was seeking this time with the Lord. When he was taking this time aside to pray, it wasn't, "Lord, I don't want to do this, and I'm going to take your silence as a, I don't have to do this." It was, "Lord, here's my request, but not as I will, but as you do." This week, as you go through, if you want to just look through story after story, you see these heroes of the Bible they're taking this time every day. They're making these decisions every day to be holy. Look at Job when it talks about him. You know, when his sons and daughters are off partying, just in case one of them might have done something wrong, he spends time praying for each and every one of them. When David is out there being tempted by Saul, he's there, he can cut him down right there. He says, far be it from me that I should stretch out my hand to strike down the Lord's anointed. I'm going to take this time, be holy. He made that decision. Are we making that decision today? Think back in the last week, the last 2 weeks. Last month. This is the end of the first month of this year. Have you taken sufficient time this year already to be holy? Every day, taking a little bit of time, thinking on these things, dwelling on these things, abiding in Him, praying. I think we'll find a lot of times we don't. And I'm speaking from experience. This is me saying I don't spend time every day like I should. And it's hard. You know, the days get busy. Time is fleeting. That's the one resource you can never get back. So every day, let's choose to take time to be holy. Spend time studying the Word. Spend time in prayer. If you haven't been doing that and you'd like help in that, let us know as we stand and sing.